This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Just to recall his famous farewell khutbah. Just read through it and consider what he wanted to leave his ummah with. What are the key takeaways, as we say nowadays? It's as if he is giving khutbah to ourselves, because he knows that the Sahaba will not forget these words. There they are, in their tens of loving thousands, hanging on every word. What's in it for them? What is the benefit? What can they tell their children and their children and their students' students so that it is transmitted down to here, Cambridge, in 1444? After all of those faithful years, we still have these words. What is he saying to us? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with this khutbah, we remember how everything that he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, is a healing to ourselves. It's all relevant, because the teachings of religion, of tawheed and akhlaq and good neighborliness, is all eternal. Nothing to do with the mobiles in our pockets. Nothing to do with the space station. All of this is just foam on the surface of the sea of history. What really matters is Bani Adam and Bani Adam's mu'amala with our Lord and Bani Adam's mu'amala with other human beings. And these are permanent, eternal verities, virtues, paths that cannot change. Mada Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala hajij fa'ara an-nasa manasikahum. This is how the seerah authors begin this greatest khutbah of all time. The Holy Prophet ﷺ passed by the pilgrims and showed people the correct rituals of the Hajj and told them what were the sunnahs of the Hajj. And he gave a khutbah to the people in which he explained what he explained. فَحَمِدَ wa athna عَلَيْهِ. He praised God and adored him. ثُمَّ قَالَ. Then he said, now we open the holy quotation marks, we lower our heads, we open our hearts to hear the pure voice of the Chosen One, alayhi salatu wasalam. أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اسْمَعُوا قَوْلِي فَإِنِّي لَا أَدْرِي أَأَلْقَاكُمْ بَعْدَ عَامِي هَذَا بِهَذَا الْمَوْقِفِ أَبَدًا. O people, listen to what I say, because I do not know whether I will meet you again after this year in this place, ever again. How many eyes must have filled with tears? They didn't know. None of us here knows. I don't know. We'll be here for the next Hajj. The Holy Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, who is one of us, does not know what the future will bring. Ayyuhan nas, إن دماءكم وأموالكم عليكم حرام إلى أن تلقوا ربكم. O people, know that your blood and your wealth is forbidden to one another until you meet your Lord. كحرمة يومكم هذا وكحرمة شهركم هذا. Just as inviolably as is this month of yours and this place of yours. Arabs always venerated the month of Dhul-Hijjah. They always venerated the holy precincts and the place of Arafat. And he's saying, just as holy as those places are, the sanctity of the greatest shrine on earth, that is the sanctity which attaches to the life and to the property of your fellow Muslim. So it's not just about place, it's about people. And today in the Ummah, we see so much fighting, this group fighting that group, this sect fighting that sect, this person cheating that person, the rich and the poor not speaking to each other. This is exactly what he is warning us against. This is the first thing he wants to say. That we are a single family as believers. And injustice amongst ourselves, injustice in life and in wealth, is as much a violation as the violation of the rules of the holy city and the holy month. وَإِنَّكُمْ سَتَلْقُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَيَسْأَلُكُمْ عَنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ وَقَدْ بَلَّغْتُ فَمَنْ كَانَتْ عِنْدَهُ أَمَانَةٌ فَلْيُؤَدِّهَا إِلَى مَنْ اِتَّمَنَهُ عَلَيْهِ. And know that you will meet your Lord, and he will ask you about what you did. And I have conveyed the message. So whoever has something held in trust, let him return it to the person that he owes it to. In other words, if you owe somebody money, do something about that as quickly as you can. If you owe somebody a favor, if you have something in your house, if you're borrowing somebody's car, if we often exchange favors in this way, that's an amana. Return it to those to whom it is due. And we need to think at this time, listening to the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what do I have that somebody else is? Even if it's a book on my shelf that I never returned, it's an amana. And he is telling us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give it back. وَإِنَّ كُلَّ رِبَى مَوْضُوعٌ وَلَكِنْ لَكُمْ رُؤُوسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ لَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ. And know that every interest-based transaction is abolished. But you shall have your capital, doing injustice to nobody and not suffering any injustice. He's telling us about riba. And what is the problem of today's world? The increasing inequalities, the crazy inflation in house prices, the exploitative mortgage market, which is a kind of casino, the fact that people are in debt and get more and more into debt and credit card debt and they become suicidal and depressed. Riba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you take it, but then biharbin min Allahi wa rasooli, then know that Allah and His Messenger are at war with you. How are you going to stand against that? In this world or the next, this exploitation through riba is something that in our religion is particularly stressed, and we need to be careful about our transactions. And we need to be saying astaghfirullah. And we see all the sorrows of the world. Young people can't afford the mortgages now. They're at the mercy of rentiers forever. The international system, which crushes third world countries with mountains of oppressive debt which they can never hope to repay, all of this is from riba. وَأَنَّ كُلَّ دَمٍ كَانَ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ مَوْضُوعٌ. And know that every feud in the jahiliyyah is now abolished. This is part of the hearing. One reason why the eyes of the Sahaba are filled with tears, because they can see that after years and years and generation and century of Arabia of tit-for-tat killings, you take my sheep, I'll take a sheep from your tribe. You fire an arrow into my encampment, I'll fire an arrow into yours. You steal one of my people, this tit-for-tat Cosa Nostra mafia culture, which dominated Arabia in the Jahiliyyah, he's putting a stop to it. No more. Whatever you think is owed, now there is Sharia, there is law. You go to a judge, you don't take justice into your own hands. And from that time, abolition. أيها الناس فإن الشيطان قد يئس من أن يعبد بأرضكم هذه أبدا. O people, the shaitan has despaired of ever being worshipped in this land of yours, ever again. ولكنه أن يطاع فيما سوى ذلك فاحذروه على دينكم. But he hopes that he will be obeyed in what is less than that. So beware of him with regard to your religion. The shaitan, which is nafs, which is hawa, which is the personification of that powerful force that drags us down. It's a sunnah, mandub, to recite in the Eid prayer, Surah Al-A'la. It's one of the most beloved of surahs to the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's ever fresh. It speaks of the springtime. It speaks of قَدَ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. He who purifies himself has succeeded. وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. And mentions the name of his Lord and prays. And where does this come from? إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي الصُّحُفِ الْأُولَى صُحُفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى. This is in the foregoing scriptures, the scrolls of Ibrahim and Musa. The universal law, the basic principle of religion is overcome the lower self. Disobey that whispering that sounds like a person, that's like a human that's telling you, do this, don't do that, like a voice that some people with mental health troubles, may Allah give them relief, hear in themselves to do evil things. We are all mentally ill in that way, in that we hear that voice. The nafs. The only real enemy of the ummah, because the nafs promises us delights. Do this bad thing. Steal this. Go shoplifting. Don't pay your taxes. fiddle your benefits, be rude to your neighbor, all of these things, every day, whisper, 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 and who amongst us can deny that we hear those whisperings? And in every moment, there are the two paths. There's the path of dignity, and there's the path of gravity. So he's telling us here, beware, fahdharu, beware. If only we can overcome the ego, our families will become like gardens. If we can overcome the ego, our neighbors will love us. If we can overcome the ego, the non-Muslims will love us. We'll become a communion of awliya once again, and nobody, however dark their hearts, fails to respect somebody who has overcome his ego and is full of light and service to others. So he's warning us, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, about this. And what is the basic story of the Hajj? Look at Sayyidina Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam and the sacrifice he has to make. We couldn't carry 1% of that. In the dream he sees that he is to sacrifice his son. We find it hard to sacrifice a little bit of interest in our bank account or a little bit of this or a little bit of that. These sacrifices are hard for us. Can you imagine? The most precious thing to him, the one who is the heir to the covenant, is to be slaughtered by his own hand. Bala'un mubin, a great trial. But because of his obedience to his Lord and his overcoming of his lower self, look at what becomes of that one act of overcoming ego. We are here today. The Ummah is here. Three great monotheistic families. So many souls transformed. So much great art. So much. All of history is changed by the fact that he overcomes his own preference and obeys his Lord. Subhanallah. And when we do the Hajj, what do we say? More than anything else, Allahu Akbar. This is what Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam is preparing to say as he prepares to cut the throat of his only beloved son. Allah is greater. The best thing anyone can say, Allahu Akbar, greater than my particular preferences, my chosen lifestyle, my whatever it is that's me, 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 which is just from the froth of the ego and has no substance and never brings happiness. Instead, the happiness that comes from being in control of that stallion that wants to race away with you into some place that will certainly not be good for you. Malli bi raddi jamahin min ghawayatiha kama yuraddu jamahu al-khayli bil-lujumi. The poet says, who is going to help me control this stallion? Who will give me the reins that will control this mad horse that I seem to be riding? He's talking about his own self, his own ego, the nafs. It's difficult. In a sense, all of life is, shall I give way to ego or shall I defeat the ego? And the experience of the believer is that the more you defeat the ego, the more life becomes beautiful and sweet, and the more you're loved, and the more things fall into place. The shaitan promises you only ghurur, something that looks sweet from a distance but actually is a trick every time. So he's saying this, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in his great khutbah. وَأَمَّا بَعْدُ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ فَإِنَّ لَكُمْ عَلَى نِسَائِكُمْ حَقًّا وَلَهُنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ حَقًّا وَاسْتَوْصُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا فَقَدْ أَخَذْتُمُوهُنَّ بِأَمَانَةِ اللَّهِ. What does he want to tell us next? This is his khutbah to his ummah for all time. O people, you have rights over your womenfolk, and they have rights over you. So I urge you to be good to women, because you have taken them as Allah's amana. They belong to God. Everybody, everything belongs to God. When they are in your household, if you are a man, it's Allah's amana, something precious. Another of the great stories of the Hajj. All of the religion really is there in the stories of the Hajj. We go from Safa to Marwa. And who does not remember, as he's moving up and down between those two little hills, the story of the first person ever to do that? Ummuna Hajar, our mother Hajar. May Allah show her his mercy and his grace. It's also, Hajj is also a story about the women folk who are now being included in the monotheistic story. Islam is the only religion, some of whose practices are founded by a woman. And there she is, on her own, single mother with her child. And is she thinking about herself? Nafsi, nafsi, nafsi. No, she's thinking about the child, and this is the high degree of motherhood. Al-jannatu tahta aqdamil ummahat. Paradise is beneath the feet of mothers. Why? Because she gives. She's not for herself, she's for the other, and that giving and that giving and that giving is her path to paradise. Very high degree. And maternal love, perhaps the greatest love that exists. And she's going from Safa to Marwa because her son, small child, is dying of thirst. And how is this resolved? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees her selflessness and gives her the well of Zamzam, which flows copiously to this day, and it's her well, which gives life to the valley, which gives delight and relief to the Hujjaj for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years. It is her well. We need to remember this. We need to remember the time, if we are husbands, for instance, and the husband has the dignity of striving to hold the roof above his family, reliably, honorably, year after year. It's a difficult calling. And the wife has the responsibility of being the pearl in the oyster who brings beauty and life to the world, the essence of his life. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. O Allah, grant us from our wives and our children the delight of our eyes. The best thing, the delight of the eyes. The Arabs believe that there's two kinds of tears. Hot tears are when you're grieving. Cool tears are when you are delighted. When something so wonderful has happened that you just shed tears of joy, and this is how the wife and the child should be for the good husband. Nothing more precious. From the time of Adam alayhi salam, who is in the garden where every good thing has been given to him, where the world has been made so that he can be the Khalifa, and in the garden the fruits and the beauty and everything perfect and no sin and no distraction and no shadows, what is the greatest gift he has given in the paradise? Hawa. Al-mar'atu saliha. Above all of those gifts, though, is this gift. The husband should remember and be grateful and discharge his responsibilities and be worthy of her respect. And in today's world, the family is falling apart because this link is not understood, the mutual respect. Society is made of bricks. It's a house made of bricks. The house can still stand if some of the bricks are breaking, if some of them are eroded, not doing their job, not supporting society very well. But if too many of them become decayed, what will become of society? And we're seeing this today. Well, a'yadu billah. And again, usually when these things fall apart, it's our sisters who carry the bulk of the burden. So he wants to tell us this, alayhi salatu wasalam. وَلَقَدْ تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ مَا إِنْ اِعْتَسَمْتُمْ بِهِ فَلَن تَضِلُّوا أَبَدًا كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَصُنَّةِ نَبِيِّهِ. Then he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have left amongst you two things which if you hold fast to them, and i'tisam in Arabic is really grabbing something, holding fast. Allah's book and the sunnah of his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wants us to be sunnah people. Not just out of love, because what could be more perfect than emulating the perfect human being? There's no better way of life. But because in this age of confusion and relativism and styles and gurus and influences and crazy styles of life, we're looking for a real style of life, something that connects us to a beautiful past, something that never changes, a lifeboat tossed by the stormy seas of crazy modernity, where everything seems to be going crazy, and there is anxiety and depression and confusion and division amongst Bani Adam. We need to be on that lifeboat. And alhamdulillah, the ulama of this ummah have dedicated their lives and traveled from east to west in order to find the hadith and to conserve the hadith and to find the sunnah and to create the fiqh. And the fiqh is nothing other than a breath of the fragrance of the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What are the jurists doing? The followers of Imam Malik and Shafi'i and Ibn Hanbal and Abu Hanifa, they're just trying to give people an image of the chosen one, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, that's in focus. so that they can live their lives as beautiful, prophetic human beings, rather than people tossed around by the billows of ego. We need this sunnah more than ever before, because humanity needs guidance more than ever before. أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اسْمَعُوا قَوْلِي وَأَقِلُوا تَعَلَّمُوا أَنَّ كُلَّ مُسْلِمٍ أَخُ الْمُسْلِمِ وَأَنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ إِخْوَةٌ. O people, listen to my words, pay attention to them, and know that every Muslim is the brother of every other Muslim, and the Muslims themselves are a brotherhood. And then he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, addressing his Lord, Allahumma hal ballaght, O Allah, have I conveyed the message? His whole life, his sacrifices, his sickness, his danger, all about conveying this message. Qal an-nasu Allahumma na'am. And the people, hearing his prayer, said, O Allah, yes. Faqala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma ishhad. And Allah's messenger said, O Allah, bear witness. You see the humility, not, I am Allah's messenger and I've conveyed the message. O Allah, have I conveyed the message? No ego. On his prophetic level, he knew that he had. بَلَّغَ رِسَالَ أَدَّى الْأَمَانَ. But still, the humility. O Allah, have I conveyed the message? So beautiful. As he seals the most beautiful words, the greatest khutbah that's ever been given in the history of all of the umam, a note of humility. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to ponder these words and help us to be benefited from the benefit that he is offering to us. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الله أكبر 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 لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الحمد لله رب العالمين ولي المتقين نكال الظالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين محمد رسول الله صادق الوعد الأمين أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فإنه خير الزاد وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار واعلموا أن الله قد أمركم بأمر عظيم جسيم أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين فقال جل ثناؤه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار يا عالم السر منا لا تهتك الستر عنا وعافنا وعف عنا وكلنا حيث كنا يا ذا الجلال والإكرام متنا على دين الإسلام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام متنا على دين الإسلام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام متنا على دين الإسلام May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our Eid prayers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts to the beauty of the words of the Chosen One, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May he always guide our hearts so that we see everything in our life, all of the problems, all of the difficulties, all of the anxieties, finding their sure therapy and their true remedy in the words of the Chosen One, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and give us the strength in our minds and our bodies and our souls to follow his way, zahiran wa batinan, and to give thanks always for the blessing of life and for the blessing of prophecy and for the blessing of family and for the blessing of this religion. Alhamdulillah, ala ni'mat al-Islam, wa kafaha biha ni'ma. Wafiq Allahumma wa latu umur al-Muslimin, ila al-amali bi kitabillah. As'adallahu aydakum, wa a'adahu alaykum bil-yumni wal-khayri wal-yusri wal-barakati wal-nasr. Barakallahu fikum, wa salamu alaykum, wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
الله أكبر لا